With us in studio today, as I mentioned, quite a few car-related issues to look at, starting with theft by signal jamming. We'll move on to that call we took last week about the car repair pricing that virtually doubled overnight. And then we're going to make some space for open line calls as well. 021-446-0567, or send your question as a voice note to 072-567-1567. Wendy, Michael and I have just been discussing which cars to buy, but the scary thing about today's first story is it relates to the very latest convenient technology that probably many buyers are jumping to get without realizing it exposes them to a new form of theft.
Yes, exactly. So by now, most motorists would know or should know about the dangers of remote signal jamming. It took many years for the warning notices to go up on the walls of shopping malls. But essentially, and it still happens, I'm quite sure, you go to lock your car with your remote, but nearby a lurking thief engages a signal jammer very easily acquired, so that your car doesn't literally get the message and remains unlocked, allowing them to help themselves to whatever you have stashed in your boot. And in so many people's cases, that involved a laptop. So yeah, smash and grab is just so last century. And most insurers, of course, won't cover such losses, as their policies state that your car must be locked when you leave it, and it's your responsibility to check that you actually did lock your car with your remote and not to be on your phone or looking away.
It's so easy to be distracted. I mean, Wendy, I physically check the door handle every time I walk away from the car, because I have seen so many messages just in my own little WhatsApp neighborhood group about it happens outside that shopping center and near that garage.
Sure, it's still very much a thing.
Very pervasive.
Yeah. But today, we want to talk about
a slightly different iteration.
And it's not just taking things out of your car. It's taking the whole car without smashing or breaking and entering, as used to have to happen in the old days. So if your car has a keyless push start, then this one's definitely for you. And I must say, even the little budget cars, such as the new Toyota Agya, have that. I know, because a relative rented one in the last week. So it's that technology has gone right down into entry-level cars. And that makes you a potential target for thieves who, as I say, make off with your entire car. And they do so within minutes of you parking it, usually in a shopping center or business parking lot, that kind of thing. It's been happening overseas for the past 6 years ago, but it is fairly new to South Africa. So what happens, crime syndicates receive orders. This is not new for certain types of car, and their foot soldiers then carry out those orders. Luxury cars and big SUVs mostly get smuggled through our borders, and the smaller hatchbacks get sold locally. And what they do is, if you watched Carte Blanche, as I did a couple of Sundays ago, you would have seen these syndicates at work, thanks to CCTV coverage. So you get out of your car, and then you head for the shopping center entrance, for argument's sake, and then the would-be thief or the thief slips in behind you. They're carrying a laptop, usually sometimes a backpack, but you know, you wouldn't notice. It's fairly common these days. They just blend in, and they get within usually 5 meters of you, and what they do is they essentially, your key, that key, it's not really a key, but what else do we call it?
That triggers the car to start.
Fob. It's constantly giving out signal, right?
Okay.
And the apparatus is able to capture this signal on a repeater. They return to the car, and in the one case that was featured on Carte Blanche, it was within 30 seconds. Return to the car. The car reads the signal off that repeater. They throw a signal jammer into the car somewhere to thwart the tracking device from alerting, from allowing the car to be traced. The starter motor is unscathed. There's no confrontation of the driver. They later on use that information, that signal that they have captured, to program a new key so they can sell the car. It's
with
untouched,
the
provided they don't crash it on the way. But it's a pristine, as pristine as it was when you parked it. And the key looks fine. It is a lot less traumatic than a hijacking for the vehicle owner, but the result is the same. You're left without a car.
So, I mean, Wendy, the fact that it's happening is a given. If the manufacturers know that it's happening, are they doing anything to try and counteract this particular risk?
Yeah, I think they're both scrambling. On that segment, Copland segment, we saw a Ranger, if not two, being Ford Ranger Bucky being stolen this way. And there was also a Toyota Land Cruiser, if I'm not mistaken. It was CCTV coverage, so a bit hazy. But the producers of the show did speak to Toyota South Africa, who said it's taken them 12 months to get to the point where they feel secure about the fix that they've come up with. And so this updated thief foiling feature will be rolled out in new Toyota models, and owners of existing models can get an upgrade done in their dealership. So that is something.
So they've developed a fix, but you've got to go and ask for it if you've already
How
got one
long
of these
the
cars.
Fix will last before
the thieves find a new way
find
around
a workaround
it.
Exactly. But that's the situation for now.
Okay, so that was Toyota saying they've got the fix and it's being rolled out standard with new models, and if you've got an existing older model with that keyless entry, you can go and ask them for the fix, whatever it is. You also mentioned Ford. Wendy, I know you've had some engagement with Ford on this.
I did get hold of Ford. They say, yes, we're aware of this criminal activity, and they stress, as they would, that thefts and keyless entry units are not unique to any brand and our global issue, and we get this. Yeah, it's not a Ford-specific problem. Corporate communications manager for Ford South Africa, Dudu Dlele, said the manufacturer's security team monitors and investigates new ways that criminals are targeting its vehicles. For keyless entry Ford models, we advise Ford customers to use our Faraday pouch to store and hold the vehicle key. It was introduced to local consumers in 2021. When you put your key inside this Faraday pouch, the layers of metallic lining help to prevent external signals from having any effect on the key. It's recommended that the key be placed inside this very slim and lightweight pouch as soon as you get out of the vehicle and the doors are locked, and you can get it from a Ford dealership at a cost of 243 rand, which includes VAT.
Was that not the same thing that at one point was being recommended for cell phones, Wendy, when everybody was worried about cardless transactions for credit cards or something like that?
It was a wallet to put your cards into.
That's right. But same concept.
Yeah, but from all the research I did at the time, it was you don't need it. It's unnecessary because card encryption or whatever. But it would seem, no one's saying that with
the
regard to
this
situation with your push start. Yeah. And then she added, in the next generation Ranger and Everest model Rangers, customers will have the option to disable passive entry functionality as an alternative measure. Oh. So the signal will not be transmitted from the key, and the vehicle is therefore not vulnerable to a signal extender attack. And I thought, wow, it's old tech, employing old tech to stay ahead of today's tech-savvy thieves.
That's quite something.
It is.
Okay,
sad.
So it's sad that we have to get there. But yeah, okay, so the Faraday pouch, very interesting. So that's the actual metallic lined pouch you can put the key into to protect it in your pocket, and nobody can come and scan its signal without your knowing about it. And then the other option is the good old-fashioned simply disable the tech.
Yes.
Is that happening already or still a way off?
I got this information last week, so it's not here yet. In the meantime, what they are going to introduce, and it's, as I say, they didn't say it was here already, are motion sensing keys on certain Ford lines. So they'll add another layer of defense, as they do not continuously transmit the radio frequency signal, as is currently the case, but they only transmit while the key is in motion.
Gosh.
So the innovative key fob detects when the key has been stationary for longer than 40 seconds and triggers a sleep mode, which will not respond to attempts to hack its signal. But I mean, if you're walking,
your key's in motion in your handbag or in your pocket.
So I think the fobs are a way to go.
Faraday pouches. I mean, Wendy, have you had a chance to actually see if they work or not?
Well, I haven't had one case study to share with you, and it happens to be my own.
Okay.
So watching that story, my vehicle has this push start functionality. So I thought, okay, partly in reaction to the show and partly to see, does this actually work? I Googled Faraday pouch while the show was still on, and bought one of these pouches from Takealot, as one does, Julie arrived and put the key in the pouch. My partner and I sealed it properly, and then they suggested you test it, obviously. So you get into your car with your key safely
inside the
pouch, encased in the pouch, yeah, and then you press the thing and the car started.
Okay, so it shouldn't have started. It shouldn't have been able to read the signal.
So
but it did.
I sent it back and just take a lot, and you know, you instantly get the, well, not instantly, but very quickly get a credit or refund. No questions asked. But I said to them as a media query, please can you engage with your supplier about this product? I suspect that the material doesn't live up to the claim, rather than this just being a one-off defective sample.
Okay, so Take-A-Lot did refund you, but did they then engage further with the supplier that, supplied that, item, Wendy?
Okay, well, it's a sort of halfway there response. We've disabled, says Take-A-Lot, the sale of the product, while our seller, and it was called the Anti-Theft Carbon Fiber Waterproof RFID Key Fob Protector Pouch.
Wow. The Anti-Theft Carbon Fiber Waterproof RFID Key Fob Protector Pouch.
We actually got two.
Okay.
It came as a two-pack. While our seller compliance team liaises with the supplier to verify the product's efficacy. Once this is complete, we will be able to provide feedback on our decision on listing the product going forward. So, for me,
I'm on Take-A-Lot right now, looking at a two-pack car key signal blocker pouch bag Faraday fob protector case. I don't know if it's the same product you bought or not.
Whip around and
have a look in the ad break and tell me if it's the same one, Wendy, because if it is, it's still being sold.
No, it's not.
Okay. All right. So, maybe that variation is a little bit more effective. But well done for flagging it.
It could be that there was just some little flaw in the material that I couldn't see.
The individual one you received. Yeah.
Hopefully, that's the case. But the bottom line is, if you do invest in one of these things, and if you're getting it from the dealership of the brand of car you have, then test it in the dealership to make sure that it works.
It actually works, yeah.
So you don't want to be having misplaced sense of security around this product. And then, you know, if whatever brand you have, go to your local dealership and discuss what workarounds they have, what they can sell you, whether there's an upgrade they can do, whatever, because, you know,
we want to reduce the risk.
We absolutely want to reduce the risk. I mean, imagine just popping in to do one little thing in like 2-3 minutes, collect something or whatever. You come out and your car's gone. No trace, no broken glass like the old days.
Just gone. Vix emailed me to say, my partner's car was remote jammed at Lower Takai Forest, and the only people around were a couple with their kids picnicking. But their car blocked my car. We don't know if that had something to do with it. It was either them or someone hiding in the bushes somewhere. And my partner usually checks her doors, but didn't think it was necessary because there was nobody else around. Mm. So take that as a lesson, not to take
these
for granted
signals
that there's
travel
nobody.
Far.
Yeah, they travel further than you think. I'm really sorry that happened, Vic. Okay, before we take a short break on the subject of cars and tech, somebody's WhatsApped Wendy saying, the Bluetooth and built-in hands-free functionality in my Ford suddenly recently stopped working. The dealership tells me I need to upgrade the car's software to reactivate these functions at a cost of 950 Rand. Surely this is extortion. Nobody informed me I would have to pay Ford a sporadic activation fee for basic functions at their discretion.
I'm taking the car's out of warranty, because if it's in warranty, then I would say there's no justification for them charging that. If it's out of warranty, I'm afraid you are pretty much at their mercy, because they there's nothing legal that would prevent them from upgrading and making you pay for it. Yeah, unfortunately.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, thank you though for the WhatsApp. We're going to stay in the realm of motoring queries as we head into the second half hour of the show. Following up on the question that came through last week around repair bills and quotations. But just to say again, if you've had any personal experience with the signal jamming experience, whether it be the old version where they jam your remote, or with this new version of copying the signal by coming up close to you and basically stealing the signal off your key. Let us know. Pop us a voice note to 0725671567.
Hi, good afternoon, beautiful ladies. Tell me, this is Forrest here from Booster. Is the steering lock still a good type of deterrent to keep prospected car thieves away? Yeah, or can that be easily unlocked? Okay, have a good show. Bye.
Thanks, Floris. Andrew actually just called in to say he's been using a steering lock forever and still believes it's the best way to protect your car. I always did in my student days, Wendy.
So did I, and I stopped using it. But funnily enough, thanks for that question, because when I was doing my research on this issue, it came up quite a few times, recommended by some manufacturers. It's, you know, it's an, another example of going low-tech to thought.
To thought the thief,
it could just make the intended thief move on to the next one. I mean, it's a funny thought, because you know, often it's these, mostly it's these quite luxury, high-end SUVs, 4x4s that are targeted.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, when have you ever seen lately a good old-fashioned steering lock on one of those? But actually, maybe they're missing a trick. Maybe they should be relying more on the old tech than on the new trick is making them vulnerable. That the sort of look, the push start is not a safety feature, it's a convenience thing, but it's making them vulnerable unless they take steps to ensure that they've got the latest technology that their particular manufacturers had to scramble to come up with to thwart it.
I'm trying to remember the little rhyme I had when I was a very new driver, Wendy, as I parked my car and was preparing to get out. It was like, the car is off, the radio's off. Learned that one the hard way several times. The steering lock's on, the handbrake's on, the car's in gear, and I'm out of here. That was my little 6-point check before getting out
one.
Of the car.
If you wake up for an early flight in the morning and you leave home and it's slightly dark, so you have your lights on. It's happened to a friend of mine in Durban this week, and it lightens up quite a lot by the time you get to the parking. I mean, that's why they and all the airports, the major ones, have permanent crews with jump starting equipment, etc.
It happens so often.
It happens so often. It happened to our friend. She's in her 50s, and she said she felt so stupid. But the guy said, "This is daily, all the time. Don't worry. So put your lights off. It can be added."
Listen, if you knew how many times I ran the battery flat outside school listening to Cape Talk while I waited for the kids to come
out. Good reason.
Anyway, before we leave the signal jamming issue, I believe there's a new voice note that's come through. Let's take a quick listen.
Hi, Puffa and Wendy. Just a question. When you're locking your car, is that when the signal is alive, or is that when the signal is being read when you're pressing to lock, or is it they know you got out of that particular car, you have the key in your pocket, and they walk close to you with their gadgetry? How does it work? Thanks. It's Craig here.
Thanks, Craig. Wendy, you said the carte blanche showed the modus operandi was following the person into a shopping centre, scanning in close proximity.
I think, is it Craig's?
Yes. Was he referring to the old version?
He's confusing, I think, and easily done, the two things. The one with the remote jamming of the signal when you're locking your car. So that's actually the signal that locks the car. It's the message that says to the car, lock. And they jam that and stop the car from locking. They're not trying to get any information from your key. That's completely different technology. The signal jamming is an easy thing that can be got from any hardware store. The technology they're using now is a little bit more sophisticated, where they are actually, so your key is constantly sending out, look,
its own frequency.
Not a techie person, but it's whole code essentially that allows the car to start and do all sorts of other things as well. I mean, on the carte blanche, the Toyota chap said that, you know, they called it cyber hacking, because they can actually go in and change the spec of the car if they have that information. So it's two different things, but I do know that, and something that Ford's trying to look at is that your key is constantly giving out this signal frequency, whatever you want to call it. The techies are probably rolling their eyes at me, that can be captured on this receiver that the thieves now, this equipment that they have, and then once they get to the car, activate it or apply it somehow and the car will respond. They can get in and they can start and off they go. So it's a next level thing from just jamming your signal from
your
reading.
Signal.
They're not taking anything from you. They're not taking any information from the key, for want of a better word. They're just stopping your key. They're just immobilizing the signal that your key is sending to your car in order to stop it locking, and
they've got to hop in and hotwire your car to get away with it.
They don't normally do that. They normally just want the stuff that you've stashed in the car.
I see. Okay.
So it's two different sets of criminals.
Okay. Got you. Thank you. Thank you, Errol, pointing out that the good old-fashioned steering lock can be easily broken with liquid nitrogen.
Oh, gosh.
If you see a thief carrying a flask that's foaming or steaming, keep your eyes open. But this is an interesting piece of advice. Errol says you can fit a Sanji anti-jam alarm at a cost of just over 2,000 Rand, including VAT. And that is a proprietary technology that detects jamming when you switch off the ignition to get out of the vehicle. So basically, if you try and close your car and a signal tries to jam it in the vicinity,
it'll alert you.
It's going to sound an alarm to let you know that that's happening. Never heard of that, Errol. Thank you very much for tipping us off. Okay, we're going to take a very short break and then we'll come back with the subject of the car repair bill that escalated beyond all recognition and make space for your open line calls.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
Call now on 021-446-0567.
That is the number to dial if you'd like to pose a consumer question to Wendy Nola. You also have the option of sending a voice note to 072-567-1567. Now, if you were listening to the show last week, you might have heard a listener voice note sharing a car repair horror show. The complainant had received a quote for repair work, and when she went to fetch the vehicle at the end of the day, discovered that she'd been presented with an invoice for far much, that the workshop had gone way over the agreed amount without permission and was demanding payment of that higher amount. And Wendy, as you said last week, not the first time you've heard that particular story.
No, not at all. And it's exactly, as I said last week, the reason why the Consumer Protection Act, when it came into being 12 years ago almost, it included a section on quotes. And in brief, a service provider of any kind may not deviate from an agreed written quote without the consumer's express permission to do so. Not only can I extend the quote or go beyond it, but by how much. The amount must always be specified unless the Act says you choose not to get a quote, which would be madness. Even whatever kind of repair you're doing. I think this came up in light of the, I can't remember, but I remember saying with locksmiths as well. If you get an emergency locksmith out, be
make sure you discuss
and
the
I've got
fee
an awful case. We haven't got time for it this week, but I've got a case that speaks to that just this week. Maybe next week we'll talk about it. But anyway, so I did get an email from the listener whose case that was, Rochelle. Okay. She got a quote from a motor workshop in the Cape Town area. The mechanic had been recommended by a friend of the family. She got a written quote, which was 18,800 Rand. That was in November. And she gave the go-ahead. She followed up the end of that month, was told still working on it. She asked again on the 19th of December, still working on it. Oof. They've got a problem. Let me know when it's resolved. Nothing was said about money, she says. Then earlier this month, so now 2 months she got a call to say the car was ready for collection. She was very excited until she saw the invoice, which was for almost 40,000 Rand. Ooh, so more than double. She said she had to borrow the money in the first place for that 18,000. When she challenged him on this, he claimed to have got the go-ahead from the family friend.
Who'd recommended him.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
And the family friend said absolutely not. He would never have been approved the quote. And anyway, that's all nonsense because legally you would have to get the consent from the person who approved the original contract and is the customer and is doing the paying. So that is...
Okay, so that was a fudge. Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
So she says, the upshot was that the owner will not give my car back for the original quote. I was itching to get stuck into this one. I was just trying to confirm her agreement that I take up her case. So a couple of days went by and Rochelle got hold of me this morning to say that that workshop owner had relented. She had told him that
that you were getting involved.
Yes.
Yeah. Funny how often that happens.
I didn't have to do anything. He's relented and agreed to release the car for the original amount that he quoted. Just mentioning you probably got him worried. She said, I'm going after work today and will confirm that all is okay this evening. I've asked her to keep us posted.
Okay.
But just a lesson for everyone. I think it's a good practice, especially if you're dealing with a smaller independent type operator, that when you get the original quote, you actually write on it and make sure they have a copy or have a phone conversation around it that's recorded in some ways to say,
this
just
is
so that we're clear, I will not be paying any more than this.
Yeah.
And also to get them to commit to a date by which they'll be finished off. So she was not only made to wait all this extra time while all the extra work was done, but then made to pay something that she didn't agree to. So, I mean, it's just basically hijacking her property, doing things that she didn't approve, and then insisting that she pay, failing which they would hold on to her property. I mean,
that's holding a car hostage.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So just be very mindful around the issue of quotes.
Okay, thank you for that. Wendy, we've still got another car-related topic to deal with, and this is one I think that many listeners are going to sympathize with. And it's to do with how much you're paying the service providers that you pay on a monthly basis on a long term, when you actually could be paying somebody else a lot less. Tell us more.
So if you have a car, and I've been talking about this quite a lot lately, if you have a car with a tracking device in it, usually people have these because the insurer insists on it, and you've had the car for some time and you haven't worried about this device, it's just there, it's out of sight, out of mind, you fortunately haven't had any incidents, and so you're just paying your 100 rand or whatever it is every month. Listen to this story. So Roger shared with me the email that he sent to his tracking company recently, and he hasn't had a response. Mm-hmm. And this is how his email went. I have 5 vehicles with you, and I've had them for varying periods between 6 and 3 years. My monthly premium amounts to 1,600 rand. It's no small amount. Having recently been contacted by a competitor, I was quoted 1,050 rand. So that's what, 550 rand
less.
For these same vehicles and new devices, keywords, new devices on contract for 3 years and a better interface and an app. Wow, I thought, I'm cancelling immediately and migrating. I contacted your customer care center, who efficiently, rapidly and politely returned with a similar counter offer of 25 rand less per month. This was, as I discovered, because I was out of contract and a good customer. I find this troubling because I've been out of contract for a minimum of 1 year on one vehicle and up to 5 years on the others, and a good customer to boot. To me, it means that I've been eligible for a substantial discount for quite some time, but no one told me. I essentially only received the discounted premium because a competitor approached me. Not good. It feels quite dishonest and almost fraudulent to not only maintain an inflated premium, but to increase it annually too. I actually feel cheated. My request for the reduction to be backdated was denied. I think people should be exposed to the facts of such matters, and that consumers should be told the truth and be dealt with honestly.
So I understand why he's peeved, Wendy. I've had the same experience with car insurance, where I've been quoted I can't believe I could insure my car for that little, and then phone the current insurer to say, I'm changing because somebody quoted me so much less. And all of a sudden we'll match the quotes.
Yes. And
if you could have got away with insuring my car for that amount, why were you charging me more?
Well, that's not good business, you see. It's good customer relations, but it's not good business.
Yeah.
When that happened to me, I'd been with a company for years and just not thought about it, contested a few increases and just sort of got them down and didn't think about it. And long story short, I was massively overpaying. And when I raised it as a media query, because I obviously had interactions with a company, and they said, oh, don't be naive. Any company you go to will slowly do the same thing. It's so all they use the premium that they get from existing long-term customers to subsidize the great offers that they offer new ones. And
it
all happens.
In the
case of a company that's offering you an actual service, so it's not insurance, it's a subscription for you paying off the tracking
service,
device. Well, if you're out of contract, you're not paying for any hardware that was long paid off. But it may well be, and probably is, given how this technology develops, that it's very old technology. You might not have the benefits that you would if you went with another company, or if you had to sign up with the same one fresh.
As a new customer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's particularly important to know that none of these companies will, either your insurer or your car tracking company is going to proactively seek you out and say, you know what, you should be getting a much better deal.
We'd like to offer to reduce your premium.
The only time you hear from them is to increase what you're already paying them. So, but you must make sure you're comparing apples with apples, obviously. If you get a competitor quote, it must be for exactly the same, if not better. And if it comes to tracking, you're probably going to get a better deal. You could be paying top dollar, so to speak, for relatively old technology that's out of sight, out of mind, as I said, and you're not thinking about it. So,
good reminder.
If you've had this contract for a while and on a month-to-month basis, and the same tracking device that was put in years ago, can almost guarantee you could get a much better deal.
So shop around and do some homework. Okay, thank you. Roger, thanks for the reminder, and let us know if you hear back from your tracking device company, please.
Follow Cape Talk on Twitter
@CapeTalk.
Okay, now, Wendy, a quick one that's not to do with driving, but to do with flying. A couple of listeners calling in on John's show yesterday, bemoaning the fact that they still haven't received refunds from Kalula purchases. Wendy, the chances that they're ever going to are slim to nil, aren't they?
Unfortunately, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if my past experience with such liquidations is anything to go by, basically, don't get your hopes up. A few cents in the rand is the usual thing. And the actual customers always sit at the bottom of the list of creditors after the fuel suppliers, after AXA, after, you know, everything else. So the customers will be at the bottom of the pile. So the ones that did get refunded were the ones were with Discovery Vitality and those that booked on that sale, the unfortunately timed sale. I think it was May the 30th.
Yes, that's right.
Where it was one day sale, Kalula tickets, and then at 10:30 that night I got a press release saying all flights are cancelled, they've been grounded and then soon after that came the liquidation announcement.
Okay, thanks for that, Wendy. Should we hear anything to the contrary, of course you'll hear about it via Wendy's show. But
and if anyone should
unlikely.
That now, you know, does get a refund through whatever means, let us know. But as I say, we're unlikely to hear anything until after the liquidation process is finalised. As far as I'm aware, it hasn't been yet.
I don't think. No. Okay. Right. Back to the issue of checking your premiums and competitive quote shopping. I believe we've got a voice note that's come through. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Pippa. This is Anne from Takai. I've just been listening to your show regarding the premiums that gentleman was paying for his tracking device. The same thing has just happened to us with our alarm system. We've been here for over 20 years and our premium has gone up every year. And we have just been quoted by a different company for state-of-the-art new stuff, new software, etc., for half the amount that we're paying our current provider. And I believe the same thing happened to a neighbour, and suddenly they were able to reduce the premiums that he was paying to the same as the new company was offering. So I think it's one of those things that seems to be the longer you are a client, the less they actually care about you.
Yeah, and thanks for that, Anne. And I should have mentioned that as well. So I'm very grateful to add that to the list of things to check. And of course, even if they did reduce the premium, it doesn't address the issue of the older technology.
Yeah, good point.
A lot of people found out at that point that, oh no, look at the small print of your contract. If for us to come and take it out, it's going to cost you.
You're going to pay extra.
A huge amount.
Yeah. Really leaves a bad taste.
If there's
taste
any
in your
contract
mouth,
you really
it?
Need to read every word of before you sign, it's one of those.
Of those alarm contracts. Yeah. Another voice note on a similar topic, I believe.
I just caught the end of Pippa's show and missed a lot of it, but gather it was about subscription fees and payments. Another big offender is probably Fidelity ADT, where your premiums just increase higher than inflation year on year, and your neighbor who signs up with ADT for the same armed response services can in some instances be paying half the price than what you're paying if you've been a long-term customer. Another very unfair practice.
Thank you. Okay. And again, it really pays to spend the bit of time, make those phone calls every now and then, get some comparative quotes, Wendy, and go back to your service provider saying, I did it with my security company and said, you know, we've been quoted X by your competitor. We're thinking of moving. Can you match the quote? The answer was yes.
And I think it's also worthwhile doing some research into what technology you actually have and what is the latest and the pricing thereof. I think they can easily take advantage of our general lack of understanding of, you know, these very technical systems and what value they're actually offering in terms of technology, because this is such a fast evolving field.
Yeah.
So if your loyalty really doesn't pay when it comes to just sitting with these systems year after year and accepting their higher than inflation. I mean, it's a bit more it's a complicated thing to change your system, and so it's tempting just to leave it as it is, and you need it for your insurance policy and all of that. But it really does pay to ask these questions and get clued up so that you can negotiate.
Even if you only do it every couple of years, maybe,
absolutely.
From time to time. Just for your own awareness of where you sit in the market with what you've got and what you're paying. So take it or leave it. Roy has phoned in to say he wraps his car key in kitchen foil and he believes that that protects it well against signal jamming. People should experiment. I don't know if Roy has had the opportunity to test that one out in a live situation, but take it or leave it. That's his advice to try. Wendy, ever heard that one?
I haven't. It sounds too low tech to be true, but then we have
been saying go low tech.
For the hell of it. Now, has it got to be heavyweight foil, Roy?
And shiny side in or out? I mean, this is going to get into a very technical test, Wendy.
I did actually tweet recently that it doesn't make any difference, by the way, if you're putting your potato on the braai. This shiny side in or out is utterly immaterial. It's just got to do with the production process. I must admit, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Well, you know how many times I've rewrapped the sticky potato?
Exactly.
Okay, duly noted. Okay, well, maybe that's one worth testing out in your own environment, Wendy, when you've got the time.
I'll let you know later.
Wrap the keys in foil and see if they work better than the Faraday
pouch
that
cheaper,
didn't work
but
at all.
I have me dudes on that one.
Okay, we have to wrap it up there. But as always, a big thank you to Wendy Nola for the work she does on behalf of our consumer customers. If you do want to raise an issue with her, the easiest thing to do is send an email directly to Wendy. The address is consumer@nola.co.za, spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R. Please put the words Cape Talk in the subject line. Please also remember to put everything about your case in one email and only one email. It's impossible to keep track of multiple mails with their own attachments, etc. So attach everything to the one email setting out your case. Don't send the exploratory email, will you take me on? Just send the details and Wendy will come back saying yes, she can or no, she can't. Okay. Cape Talk in the subject line and it's consumer@nola.co.za. Wendy, look forward to chatting to you again next week, Wednesday.
Indeed. Thanks, Heather.